This is Ken Bone, and I never listen to None Taken.
Hello.
Hey. How
was it? Whoa, you sound extra crisp.
Sweet.
Okay, let me ask you a funny question. Really funny question. We'll start the fucking show.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, I got a really silly one. Did I ask you in the last show? I was really drunk. Did I ask you, what are you drinking tonight? Same as usual, lemonade?
Same as usual. Yeah.
I'm on to something different.
I have some beer, but I didn't like it very much. The Voodoo Ranger.
I don't care for New Belgium.
Yeah. Andrew bought it, and he's like, I like this. You'll like it, too. And I was
it's fine. It's fine.
It's okay. Yeah. It's not great.
You know, I can ask me what I'm drinking?
Oh, what are you drinking?
Red wine from my Tennessee cup.
Classy. I like it.
Is it a Bordeaux? You say classy. Wait till you see me refill it.
Is it from a box? Hey, actually, those boxes aren't bad.
Yeah, I know. It's a bold cab sauv, Alan.
That's not bad. Nope, that's not bad. Isn't.
I got a new somebody box, brought so I brought one of those, this one into the office.
Somebody brought one of those to our White Elephant work party, and like three people stole it. And I was like, it's not bad.
No. Nope.
Yeah. I bought a nicer bottle, but, you know.
Nobody stole it. I mean, you get more.
Nobody knows what it is.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Plus, there's more bottles in this box.
Yeah, true.
Funny prank or a funny observation about Trump?
Oh, I mean, I like the funny observation about Trump, I think.
I mean, it's a really stupid one. Do you think, every once in a while, I imagine this, and I don't think anybody else does. Can you imagine how hard he would cough off a bong rip? It's just like choking, right? Like,
dude, that would be so bad.
I couldn't even imagine it.
And he would do it wrong.
Yeah, he would do it wrong.
He would put like his lips on the outside of the bongs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. That's weird. Now you made it weirder. Like he's really making love to it. Speaking of which, hey, it might be cold out here in Tennessee, but in Memphis, they still got to work.
We are in Memphis, Tennessee, where it is the first snow of 2024.
Now, she looks like someone just like pried her mouth open and just threw a handful of teeth in. Other than that, as pros go, she can do a lot worse. I mean, nothing's real on her, right? I mean, she's got blue. I believe she had like a blue or a white. I mean, I hope it's not coated with anything other than lipstick. And then that itself has frost on it. She's got the biggest eyelashes you've ever seen, and they've got snow sitting on the top of them. Yes, they do look like giraffe eyelashes. Let's see, a nose piercing, a scarf, and she's probably kept warm by that giant pile of fake hair. All right, here we go. Let's go. Oh my God, look at that pause. Look at my pause. Hey, you know what? It's probably some skill with that, you know.
I bet she does the bongs wrong also.
All right. I feel like it'd be better if you were exceptionally small and could fit that gap, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Fall of 2024, the first snowfall, and it is 18 degrees out here. 18 degrees. Got the lips trembling. Got the eyelashes frosty like these lips. Got the teeth nice and golden. Looking like a mystery of love.
Y'all let me in this damn house.
That's a mystery.
All right, you ready?
I am ready. Are you recording?
Yes.
Wait, press the button.
I can't hear you. You want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like None Taken.
Boom.
To the Friday Headlines Roundup edition of None Taken, where every week my good friend Alan wrangles up the headlines, brings them here, I don't look, so we can take turns talking them at you. Because I listen to 13 hours of podcast a day, and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news, so you don't have to. We're your mainstream media antidote. Said it backwards, still works. flip it and reverse it. Head on over to FungibleNunTakens.com to buy our cool merch like this hoodie. It's got our logo on it. And head on over to TrumpGags.com to join the Patreon. We didn't like doing Patreon for a long time, but you guys wanted to be a part of it. Be a part of the show. We're putting that money towards something cool. We'll make a plan, a meetup, something like that. Feedback on the Patreon is desirable. Please share. Please clap. But with no further ado.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, lighthearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir. Exactly, sir.
I like that. Exactly, sir. It makes me laugh. All right.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. Friday's here.
We forgot about somebody.
Fucking beer. Also,
we forgot about somebody.
For all your SEO and marketing needs, slickestdigital.com. Slickestdigital.
Slickestdigital.
Check them out.
.com. Yeah. You know what? I always say this is your show. Let you drive. I'm so sorry. I'm a bad driving instructor. Not that you need instruction. Shit, God.
No worries. Hey, I hope you all are staying safe out there. We were just talking about.
God, you can tell how non-Southern Alan is. I hope you all are. There's one word for that. Yar. Just say yar.
Yeah. It's not how we do it in California. I'm sorry.
Think about how much time you save if you just say yar.
It would be a time-saving device, I suppose. No, I hope you all are safe. Damn it. Did it again. I hope you're staying safe out there, man. Dustin was just talking about the craziness of the roads around where he is. I know it's crazy in a lot of places in the country. So take care. You know, you can get there a few minutes later.
Yeah.
Don't die.
Yep.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right.
Your boss might be a dick, but he's probably a she, right?
They?
The woke agenda, Alan.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what their pronouns are?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know where I was going with that.
One can't predict these things.
Oh, yeah. Who cares? If your boss is a dick, you know, do what's right anyways. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Yeah. All right. Welcome to the Friday show. We have some headlines to talk at you, as Dustin said. So I say we just get right into the show. Yeah.
Do it.
All right. A Maine judge deferred a decision on former President Trump's eligibility to appear on the state's primary ballot under the 14th Amendment, pending a Supreme Court ruling on a similar Colorado case. So essentially what this judge said was, look, the Supreme Court's going to decide on the Colorado case. Why don't we stay this decision until we hear that?
The Supreme Court's decision is about the Colorado case.
Yes.
It's not about the Maine case.
No, but the court or the judge in Maine said, let's hear what the Supreme Court has to say, and then I'll send it back to the Secretary of State and they can make a decision then based on what we hear from the Supreme Court.
That's fine. I mean, the thing that I liked about her having the balls to do that was that, this isn't like, a dictate that goes out. Like, there are checks and balances to this shit. That's why we don't like Trump, because he doesn't want things like that when it goes for him. You know, so it is weird how these checks and balances that he wants to get rid of are actually keeping him on the ballot.
And I agree with that. And I think that, you know, she was well within her rights within the Maine Constitution to do what she did. The Secretary of State is given that power there.
Yeah.
And she used it to what she thought was the best decision to make.
Yeah.
I am also not upset about this judge saying, hey, the Supreme Court's going to look at this in the next month anyways.
By keeping someone on the ballot during the primaries, you have a group of people that are very inspired people that voted, and now you're going to feel now you took that vote off the table. So in my opinion, getting all this resolved prior to the primaries was the most important thing, which nobody did.
Yeah, that would have been ideal, certainly. I do have an update real quick on that Loeffler question suggesting Schumer hold a vote in the Senate to remove Trump's.
Do they hold a vote on fucking anything? I don't see a single headline about them making a budget resolution. Did that happen? Yeah, or is the government shutting down tomorrow?
I have it in other news. Yeah,
it's in other news. So this news service I pay for didn't bring us it?
Well, I saw your question.
All right.
So I went to my trusty news sources and I found it. Right. I already knew most of it.
You were
going
to say something else. You talk about that one.
Oh, yeah. So remember we had that. We had that quote from Loeffler last week, or the clip from Loeffler last week, where the listener called in and was like, hey, do you think Schumer should hold a vote in the Senate to remove Trump's? Now, Ben said Trump's visibility, and that threw me off. I'll be honest.
That felt like just a synonym for exposure.
So I think what he meant to say was disability, because that's what's actually said in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And if he had said disability, I would have had a much better answer to that question, because that kind of threw me off. I was like,
can you explain the difference and then give the answer? Okay. I don't understand.
So the last line of Section 3 is about the option to circumvent it. Essentially, so what we're saying is if you've been involved in insurrection or providing aid and comfort to such people, you can't run for office. You can't hold office, public office again. If Congress decides they want to override that, they can do so, but they have to have a two-thirds majority vote to do so in both the House and the Senate. And the way it says it in Section 3, the last sentence, is it says they can remove the disability. So when they're saying disability, the disability
means
is
like
the
lack of qualification.
The lack of their ability to run for office or hold public office. So, that's
but in order to vote, they would admit that they are removing a disability. And they would have to say that the disability is real, which they're at present saying is not.
Correct. And no matter what they did, whether they abstained or voted yes or no, obviously it wasn't going to pass because you're not going to get Democrats to vote for it. But the, now that can be argued at the court that said, hey, look, the senators wouldn't vote to say that he was, you know, was should be allowed to be on the ballot, even though he shouldn't be because of Section 3, or the vice versa. Both of them. So it's kind of a catch-22. I still don't think it's a great idea. I don't think Schumer will do it. He's just not that kind of guy, I don't think.
Sorry.
It was an interesting legal strategy, though. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it is. I tried to look something up that I shared.
Okay.
I opened a fucking video. No, it does make sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see what Trump said today? That like is, I think, the closest we'll get to an admission of him being guilty. See, he made a statement about...
You had it in your story.
He made a statement about immunity. And he said, Democrat... that's not it. There's another one where James Carville said that he thinks Trump has...
Oh, he has the clap?
Because there's red stains on his finger.
Bloody. Yeah, Carville would be the guy to say that.
Yeah. Trump compared the president to the police officer who Trump argued should not be stopped from doing the job of strong and effective crime prevention simply because of a bad apple. So in this case, he's talking about himself and why he should have immunity. And now he's saying cops should be able to do crime prevention, even if there's bad apple cops. He's talking about presidents and a hypothetical bad apple, and it's only coming up because of him. So he is. And then he goes on, he says, sometimes you just have to live with great, but slightly imperfect, which I think is the closest we'll ever get to him admitting guilt or a flaw.
It might be. Can I actually, let's talk about that for a second. All right. So the reason the presidential immunity matters is because you don't want a president in the heat of the moment where he has to make a split-second decision.
Right, about that's why whatever. They get covered for things. It's already written down in Article 14 or somewhere where it says, like, within the outer perimeter of their duties as president. And what they determined, and the reason Colorado said he's ineligible is because what he did was...
It was as a presidential candidate,
having lost an election.
Obviously, it makes sense that you don't want a president who's in office who has to make a split-second decision to then be able to be sued in court for that decision because it wasn't the most ideal situation in hindsight.
Sure.
But when you're not in your role as a president, when you're a candidate, that doesn't apply. So that's the reason that presidential immunity doesn't apply to him in this situation.
Yep.
All right. Business. I think we covered that.
Ethics.
Yes.
you want to hit the next one?
Yeah.
Your favorite guy.
Hunter Brandon pleaded not guilty to 9 federal tax charges in a Los Angeles court, facing allegations of failing to pay at least $1.4 million in taxes between 2016 and 2019. Fucking commit tax fraud king, dude. Hell yeah. It's not even king. That's just, you know, low.
There's also allegations he filed fraudulent tax returns. Fraudulent tax returns to try and avoid additional taxes. If you recall, there was that special counsel that was appointed to look into this case. And so now he's able to bring charges in other jurisdictions besides not Massachusetts. Where is it? Delaware.
I was looking for the frog protection quote. I just wanted to make sure. I made it green so I can find it next time.
Frog protection. Fraud protection. Frog. Fraud. Frog.
Frog.
Fraud.
Frog.
I think we're on the same page.
We're totally on the same page.
Okay.
So he can bring charges in other jurisdictions besides Delaware now. And so he's bringing these charges in Los Angeles because apparently that was his place of residence when he failed to pay these taxes.
Okay. So, I mean, it seems like having a jury pool out of L.A. sounds pretty promising.
Yeah, I mean, it could go either way, I think.
You get Huntington Beach in there, you're in trouble, right?
Sure. He's pled not guilty to these charges as well as the gun charges in Delaware.
He misplaced it. It happens to a lot of people, especially people on boats. You know, I can't tell you how many boating accidents I've got to, and I lost it. I don't know what happened to it. Didn't lose this one, though, Alan. Got the podcast gun right here.
Keep that thing on you.
Yep, keep it ready.
I
genuinely don't care about Joe Biden, like, or Hunter Biden, the more they...
I don't care either. Unless they show me something real. I mean,
I'm open to it. But. And it better not be his fucking dick again. Every time they're like, check out this thing from Joe Biden or from Hunter Biden. You're like, ooh, I'm excited. And you know what it is? It's like that. Remember during the pandemic when the picture of that giant black guy on the edge of the bed with his huge... Like that. And people would send it to you like... And it said like, you know, Donald Trump and COVID. You thought he had COVID. Everybody was like opening that up. It's like that. That's what it's it like. God damn it. It's Hunter's dick again. It's Hunter's dick. Did you see
like
he
getting Rickrolled?
Did you see this happened today? He agreed to. So because of contempt of court charges, he agreed to a closed door hearing at the end of the month.
At Congress?
Yeah.
Really? I did not see that.
Ooh, Alan.
I think he should have stuck to his guns on that one.
I think so too.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to try and say he's in contempt of Congress. They're going to have to pass a vote to do it. And this goes to the Justice Department. And the Justice Department has to decide what to do. What do you think Merrick Garland's going to do? I mean, come on.
I don't know. It's weird. Like, Merrick Garland should not be giving preferential treatment to the president.
I agree. But, I mean, if it was Bill Barr, I think we all know what would happen in the reverse situation. So I don't know.
I'm aware of us being sympathetic to him saying, I want an open hearing because I don't want you to just slander me because you got the doors closed and not get anything and then come out with the doors open and tell people a bunch of lies about what happened in there. But the converse of that is kind of true too, where like, I'm sure there was people during Trump's investigations that didn't want to cooperate, said the same thing, or people that would insist on having a closed door for their own security and not allowed to. And contempt charges given. I mean, I don't know, but it does feel like that seems plausible. And I have to be.
I think that happened to Roger Stone. And
I feel like
Steve Bannon.
I feel like I should be sympathetic in the same way with that. And I wasn't with them. But those guys were being so evasive. And the thing is, with that, there was evidence. And I'm not saying all of Russiagate, but with those characters and those actors, there was evidence for what they were being dragged into to share about. With Hunty Bitey, they're like, you know, we have all this with just everything that we know, like, let's have that conversation in public. You know, like, it doesn't seem like enough. This is in the context of impeaching his dad, by the way. And like, none of
right.
this.
And I don't think there's the danger of this, of him turning this into a circus like you might have had with somebody like Stone.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. What's the bigger deal? I think it's the, I think it's Trump.
Trump elections, Trump ballot. Because there might be another.
The U.S. military launched a fourth round of missile strikes against Houthi-controlled sites.
Shots from the table. Yemen, you want some?
As the Biden administration redesignated the Houthis as specially designated global terrorists.
Hey, so who took them off the terrorist list?
Was it
Joe Biden 2021? Because we wanted to help. If Saudi Arabia was going to make a deal with them, the ceasefire that's been lasting since then, we had to non-designate them as a terrorist organization if they're going to be our best buddies.
So that designation allows us to seize any of their finances that we have access to, or stop people from funding them potentially through normal means. So it makes it harder for Iran to fund them. Yeah, I mean, this is just ongoing. It feels like every time we hit the Houthis, they're just like, yep, that's fine. We'll keep going.
Yeah. I mean, the airstrikes that Saudi Arabia was doing since 2015 aren't going to be any different than the airstrikes we're doing now, I don't think.
Right.
Maybe it'll be different. But yeah, the Saudi Arabia went to us right before their invasion, was like, look, we can do this in 6 weeks. We can take out the Yemenis.
That sounds really familiar.
It does sound really familiar. It does. And then they just signed a peace treaty in 2021 to get, or a ceasefire in 2021 or 22 to get them to stop shooting because Saudi Arabia's oil fields and refineries were getting attacked. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's weird was like the Houthis as a group, like they really are, like, they have everything to gain and nothing to lose.
Yes. And we talked about it on the last show. Yeah, absolutely. They have incentive to further this conflict and make it worse and escalate it. Because, I mean, if you've been in a war like that for a decade nearly already, it's like, what else can you throw at me that hasn't already been thrown at me? I mean, the U.S. probably has better weapons, but not that much better.
Yeah, but if you also think about it as, you know, Iran exercising their reach to the opposite side of Saudi Arabia, and right. then, and if you just like draw a map and extend Iran's borders into Iraq, you're really not that far off, and certainly into Syria or Lebanon.
Lebanon
and Syria. There's just like a straight bridge through
there. Almost the whole. And noose around them,
and like anybody of military significance within Iran has free travel through all of those. Like there's, they will be unmolested through the phrases.
Sure.
So now, you know, putting that on the opposite side of Yemen, and keeping in mind that this is the governing faction of Yemen, right? It's not. There are other. Gangs that want to wrestle for power, including the recognized government that lives in the Marriott or
Riyadh.
Whatever. Yeah, in Riyadh. But it's not Saleh. That confuses me. So Saleh was the guy in charge that when the Houthis took over or started the civil war and won basically right away. Saleh left for Saudi Arabia and then came back and said, just kidding, Houthis, I'm on your side now. And then he tried to flee again. And at a checkpoint, he was caught by Houthis and killed. So who was it that left and was recognized? Was it his family then? Was it like his crown prince designate?
I don't know that. I do know the current prime minister is Maine Abdul Malik Said.
Okay. All right. That's, I guess, who. Okay. But the other guy was like the dictator the U.S. has been backing in a.
Right. Although I think we're still backing this guy too.
It's just weird that it's just like, call it another place. How many times is it the U.S. backed dictator? He's the good dictator. It's fine.
And also, it's only going to take 6 weeks, guys. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That said, I do have more faith in the way we would conduct reducing their command and control and their ability.
Absolutely, of course.
Than just the Saudis with us refueling and supplying munitions, which is how it was going before for the most part.
Correct. And I mean, we're firing missiles from submarines, from boats,
and
from
all and of them. And, you know, I don't like this because in my heart, I am a pacifist. I know it probably doesn't sound that way, but this is like for the first time. It's like, no, actually, like 9/11, I was one of those annoying people that was like, hey, we should probably temper our emotions and not like go around the globe trying to get these motherfuckers. I can't really explain the Iraq time period for me. But very quickly, I was protesting it. And then I guess where was I going with this? All of that time, like I've never felt like this is something we need to do. I 100% feel like I don't care who you are. Like you're not disrupting free people's ability to sell things to someone who wants to buy things.
I agree. Now, to be fair, for the most part, these attacks have been ineffective. I mean, the Houthis attacks on global shipping and our Navy.
Well, because they haven't been attacking, like, goods cargo, too.
I mean, essentially, they're mosquitoes in the side, right? But still, it is.
It's redirecting ships. It's causing insurance spikes. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It's stretching supply chains. It's costing, you know, it's cutting into bottom lines. Of all these, you know, shipping manufacturers or shipping companies, rather.
And it's so outsized their reach should be. Like they just have a button that nobody else has. They're there's this 18-mile strait here that you got to get all your boats through. Look what I can do.
Like, we can do.
We're not even in charge of this country. We're just like the people with the most guns right now. Like, it's a fucking. It's not even. I have a clip for next week's show about how it's only a state on paper, and you know. Now it sounds like it was my idea. So when you hear them say that.
All right, let's move on to the next
segment. Okay. Do I say it?
Yeah, it's you.
Man, I've been talking. Israel and Hamas reached a deal. I don't think so. What? what? You lying to me? I've never seen this happen.
No, it's
before.
True.
I feel like I would have heard about this.
It's a very minor deal, to be honest.
Israel and Hamas reached a deal, brokered by Qatar and Frank, to enable the delivery of, you wanted to correct France. I saw you go for it. Good.
I did.
Yeah, I saw you move to the mic. Iran and Hamas brokered a deal to allow medication to hostages, the Israeli hostages, I assume, right? In exchange for aid delivered to Gaza. Okay.
Yeah, the headline is a little bit misleading. I had to read the story to be like, what? Yes.
There was another one, too. Another headline I saw. The UN agreed. They like made the outline of the conditions for a ceasefire being that if all the hostages are released and Hamas is disbanded, then that it's those are the conditions. It's not going to happen, though, yet. What were you going to say? That's like Zelensky's ceasefire. He's like, so we get Crimea back, we get all the land, and we get an indemnity payment from Russia. Deal?
That's not going to happen. So the deal was or is that they're going to allow medicine in for the Israeli hostages that Hamas is still holding, which they think is about, like, I want to say like 140, they think, is still there. And in exchange for that, they're going to allow, supplies relief for the Gaza people. So it's not a massive deal, but it's something. I feel like any baby step towards progress here is good in the right direction. So
yeah, it is good.
All right, what's the bigger one? I could go either way on this.
I think the World War III is happening. Do you even have anything on here about? Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Just for a moment.
Yes.
From the Iranian perspective, they had a revolution in 1979. Part of that revolution is mandated that they externalize the revolution. Right. They know they have control of Lebanon by controlling the military, because the military of Lebanon is
part of Iraq, part of Syria.
Let me finish Lebanon before I explain why. Yes, okay. Right? Yeah. So they have Lebanon. They have Iraq. They say there is a statement from an Iranian, it might have been Soleimani, I can't remember, that said we have Tehran, Damascus, help me out with Lebanon,
Beirut,
sure, and Baghdad. Like, they've said that, so like they believe that, and then now throw Salah or wherever the capital is of Yemen on top of there. Mm-hmm. Like, from the Iranian perspective, they have a massive regional war going on. Now Israel's firing into Lebanon. Like, I got distracted because I said Lebanon, because that's what the town of out here, there's a town called Lebanon that they call Lebanon. There's also a Smyrna called Smyrna. It's fun.
Yeah, I was confused by your pronunciation as well.
So, but do you get my drift?
Yes.
Like, there is, we talked about Yemen for a while there. That's a segment of Iran's global war. And if you want to call it Israel's global war, you can call it that too. Like, it's we're so fucking close, man.
So if we're playing Command and Conquer, you're saying a lot of the map has been already acquired.
Yes. Okay. And anyways, the answer is Yemen.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Your turn to talk.
Actually, do you know how long ago the schism between Sunni and Shia Islam
happened? First generation. It was after when Muhammad died. It was like the stepfather and the cousin.
Like the 7th century or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
7th or 6th, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in there. That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's also just dumb, too.
You're
not the true descendant.
But, I mean, to be fair, Christianity has done some dumb shit.
I immediately was thinking the same context, though.
Right.
So, like, I mean, I don't think we have to give that disclaimer. No. Yeah.
Okay.
Then get me started on the Buddhist, Alan.
Jesus. Moving on. Iran conducted airstrikes in Pakistan targeting the militant group Jaish al-Adi.
Okay.
Something like
that. Rub my tummy.
Pakistan condemned the strikes as an unprovoked violation of its airspace. Why don't you go ahead and hit that next one and we can just talk about the whole thing.
Pakistan, bloody, no, you bloody, but you, hold on, I got an audio for, where is it? Is it there? Oh, is it there? Yeah,
I put it there. You put it by rub my tummy and I was like, I totally forgot.
All right. So, let me just play this in the background while I read this headline. Sound good? Is that how we do it?
Sure. Yeah, right. Sure.
Fucking racist ass podcast.
fucking you bloody, you bloody, you bloody.
Pakistan
bloody,
conducted.
Bloody, fuck you bloody.
Pakistan conducted retaliatory strikes targeting terrorist hideouts, their clubhouses, in Iran 2 days after Pakistan conducted strikes on terrorist hideouts in Iran 2 days after Iran conducted strikes into Pakistan's territory. Alan, how many of those countries have nukes?
Both.
One that we know of.
Well, one that we know of.
And if you ask Israel, 13 days from now. 13 days, Alan. 13 days still.
Perpetually.
It's like the doomsday clock. It's like, oh, it's good. It isn't moving.
So, I mean, Iran and Pakistan.
Bitch, you want to fuck you?
Sorry, what?
Fucking bloody bastard.
Okay. I won't do
it. They generally have actually relatively good relations. The funny thing, the Iranian foreign minister met with the acting Pakistani prime minister hours before the strike. And they're like,
yeah, and then they summoned him afterwards, and he's like, gotta go, time to,
They're like, what the fuck, bro? We were just here. Like, you could have just told us. Like, so they both claimed to have been taking out terrorists that were going to, you know, mount an attack on their country, and so they're doing it for their own country's best interest. These are both of these strikes occurred pretty close to each border. So just barely into Pakistani and Iranian space. I don't know. Basically, what I've read in reporting wise is that they've both gotten their shots in, essentially, and they don't.
It's an honor. It was like a duel, right?
Right. And neither of them have an interest in escalating this situation. So at this point, it seems like it's going to cool down. Although I saw some things in our story that maybe suggest otherwise. What's your take on it?
Well, I know. I think two things can be true. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
There's one thing to always remember is, you know, when the U.S. was going to war with Iraq, people were like, Iran's next. And it's like, go get the globe. Don't do this. Come on, you know, point at Iraq. All right, now point at Iran. Do you see the difference? Yeah. It's like three times as big. Also, this one that we have fought that one before with our support and almost lost.
Pretty much lost.
I mean, did. I don't know why I said almost. It's not fair. Iran was using literal human waves. They were like taking kids and throwing them out there and making them do it. Can we get this off the screen? I'm sorry. So where was I going with that? So two things can be true. So when people were saying Iran's next, you know, one first thing is look at the map. Second is it would be absolute hell to try to actually conquer Iran in comparison to how we ran over Baghdad. I mean, conquering is one thing, keeping.
Well, just geographically. I mean, we're going to have a story in other news about Taiwan, which is similar.
Similar.
But yeah, Iran would be absolute nightmare to attempt.
At the same time, as bad and how much you don't want to do that is, Iran also doesn't want that either. Like, they don't want that. Well, they have so much trouble with control right now. Mm-hmm. The only thing they have hanging is the fact that they kind of have that, like, sway over that region like we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But there's not a lot of faith in that. Like, so they have a lot of issues at home. They have a bad economy because of sanctions. They have to sell. Mm-hmm. They're limited to how much oil they can actually produce because they are an OPEC member, right?
Yes.
And then they can only sell their oil via bartering or smuggling or East Asia deals or, you know, whatever it
Russia,
is. Yeah, they're not. So they just have a huge issue there. They do not want a true world war where they are one of the main poles of fighting.
They don't want to be an axis at all.
They don't.
And they also have a lot of unrest in their populace.
That's
the last
year. I breezed over that. Yeah.
So there's that too. I mean, their hold on power is pretty tenuous. Although, as you said, they do cast a pretty wide shadow in the region,
right?
Consider all of their sort of
which proxies. Maintains them, you know, which is kind of like, you know, we look at how bad Russia's army is and how it performs. And it's like, geography, you know, you're still going to have to accept geography, like, which is kind of one of Russia's lines. It's like, geography is still going to be true. You can say what you want. Like, I have this, like,
that is very true. Very, very right. True.
Bloody, you bloody. Okay. That's fun.
All right. I don't know. I think those are almost equal stories.
Tell me,
so I don't even
what
know.
Do I write down? Pakistan.
Okay.
Can I tell you my
they have the nukes officially. So.
Well, let me tell you a fun little story about that. So I feel like growing up in the 90s, there was just like a moment where we all just knew Pakistan had nukes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what did that? That would have been a story. I would have learned about this. But you have to remember, this is the nascent days of the internet. People weren't getting like all their news online. They were mostly getting their news from the TV. And the week that India and Pakistan got nukes was the final episode of Seinfeld. And we just didn't have the fucking bandwidth as a society. Like, that's a
I didn't
fucking
know that.
Fact. Man.
That's hilarious. Oh, America. You should play
America.
The
America. I will. Hold on. I got to go down here. Thank you, Beyonce. Yeah, feels good. Good one.
All right, moving on. Right. A Chinese researcher sequenced the COVID-19 virus at least 2 weeks.
You know what? Keep talking. I'm trying to find that fucking button.
Before China officially disclosed it. Potentially
China is asshole!
The global response per records made public by a House panel.
Okay. So, okay. Like, there's that's all. That's it, right? It's from a lab. You're backing it up 2 weeks earlier, and China had it and then hit it. There's no way. I don't, like, you cannot convince me otherwise anymore.
So here's what happened.
Like, you're just talking about all of this and all of human nature and everything that's true about that country and the way they run things and information. And then you're asking me to just be like, dog, that's racist. Like,
I certainly wouldn't call you a wackadoo for thinking that. Just a couple of details here. So there is a some sort of website consortium where globally people post viruses too. Once they've been sequenced, they post a sequence of
like
viruses.
A dark web or for doctors?
No, for doctors, for international organizations, etc. Like the World Health Organization, the NIH, all of them use this same site. So what happened was this doctor posted the sequence, the DNA sequence, to that platform, and the NIH was like, okay, this isn't complete, we need more information. The doctor never responded to that request for additional information. And so essentially that post just sort of went away because they're like, there's not enough information for this to stay here. 2 weeks later, China posts the identical DNA sequence of COVID-19 to the same platform. It was like, here you go. This was like a day before.
So it got nabbed by the Ministry of Truth and had to get verified. And so, right?
I mean, that's what it looks like. Yes. That's what it 100% looks like.
What happened to her? She alive? No word, huh?
No word. Maybe she got, I don't know, welded
Shanghai.
Into an apartment.
Oh.
Maybe she got welded into an apartment building.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
China.
They got a list of where you were so they could just not pop that weld. There's millions of people dying anyway. That's terrifying. Shanghai doesn't get used, all I was going to say.
It's fair. Trouble in Little China. Those green eyes, man.
What?
Big Trouble in Little China. You saw the movie, right?
Yeah, Russell? But I don't remember the green eyes. You know Kurt Russell was like Walt Disney's last words?
What?
Yeah, when Walt Disney died, he had like a scrap of paper that he either like wrote down Kurt Russell or he had like, that was his last note, was like, this kid's going to be a star, buddy. This is how Walt Disney talks.
I mean, if you know anything about Walt Disney history, maybe that's not all that surprising. I don't know.
I mean, I think Blue Lagoon's a Disney movie, right?
Sure.
We're going to have these two adolescent kids going through puberty, and they're going to be naked. And then we're going to stand there with cameras, and it's not pornography.
Not at all. It's almost a documentary, really. All right, let's move on to the next one. This is also more Chinese.
Blue Lagoon is a weird, like, you would not be able to come out with the Blue Lagoon. Everybody's like, you couldn't do Tropic Thunder now. You couldn't do Blazing Saddles now. It's like, you could not do Blue Lagoon now, and you shouldn't have done it then. Look at Brooke Shields and tell me that shouldn't have happened to her.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a Lolita moment, kind of.
Kind of is. Hey, but good for Kurt Russell, right? Yeah. And then he was in The Thing, if you know what I mean. Every Halloween.
We have a few more China headlines here.
Okay, do I talk here? This one?
Yeah.
The declining or the
number eight.
Scientist? Oh my God, they cloned a monkey. So the Chinese scientist successfully cloned a rhesus monkey for the first time. That's got a chocolate shell and a
peanut butter
inside. Yeah. You get it. Two great tastes that taste great together. This is marking the first development that could affect medical research for humans.
A couple of things. All right. So first of all, they did this 2 years ago. The interesting thing is that it's lived for 2 years now, because most of the time when they do these things, they don't last. They don't live for very long.
When they clone animals, they don't last very long, right?
Correct.
Which is like the biggest proof. Anytime you hear these stories about people like cloning people, you just got to remember, like, well, if they did that, there would be like disgusting, you know, like human remains constantly. I mean, they could be doing that whole The Prestige where they try. Oop, almost spoiled The Prestige. Why don't you finish? Change the subject, Alan.
They can make them into Soylent Green, perhaps.
There you go.
So this is concerning on sort of an animal rights level that they're doing this. There are medical advantages to this. So when you clone an animal, So typically, normal birth, right? You have half your genes from your mom, half your genes from your dad. They combine. You have dominant and non-dominant recessive genes, right? And that determines your sort of makeup. So when they clone an animal, it's 100% from one animal.
It's same, so same.
Same. Different. So it's not combined DNA. It's exactly the same. So the medical advantage to that is that then you can use them in research, further medical research. And if you see a divergence of impact from, say, a medical trial, whether that be medicine or some other form of treatment, chemo or whatever it might be, right, that you would know that it's not because of the genetic makeup of that individual, because they're identical.
Okay.
So that gives you sort of a leg up. However, obviously, it's very concerning from an animal rights point of view. Prior to this, there was that famous sheep, right? Dolly or something?
There was. The first sheep, 97, I think.
Right. And they've been attempting to do this for a while, but most of them, as I said, live longer than a day or two. So they did a special, I don't want to get into the details because I can't really hold it all in my head, but essentially there was a problem with the way especially at the beginning, the way the embryo was forming, it wasn't taking correctly. Okay. And so it just wouldn't survive. And so they changed up that aspect. And so that enabled this creature.
I'm imagining like they changed like some node of the segment.
Well, it's where they take the DNA that they want to clone and put it into this, whatever it is.
Like a bath or something.
Something like that, right? Uh-huh. Whatever they inserted into, they changed the way that worked, and then suddenly it was able to live.
That makes sense.
So also a little terrifying when you consider the story we just had previously.
What were we just talking about?
COVID-19 being just...
Yeah. Yeah, and that they were like, oh, do you know what? I don't think it's in here. They in that little where they post their viruses they make, they posted some virus. It's like, hey, we made a COVID that kills... the brain, and it kills 100% of the people infected with it. Isn't this great? Like, why are you still doing this? Why are you allowed to do this?
And then we could put it in cloned monkeys, and it'd be like that movie with Brad Pitt and...
That's actually exactly like this. Don't do that. Monkeys. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. It is 12 monkeys.
It is 12 monkeys.
Alan! I write down 12 monkeys. I stopped listening to the show and editing it. I've just been trusting us and taking out like key moments where I'm like, hey, we like looked something up. I want to cut a minute out, like something like right now. So I have to write down our show title ideas, or I'm not going to hear them on the edit.
Oh, 12 monkeys. Yeah,
that's a good one. Okay.
That's one of my favorite movies.
It is a great movie. Amazing. It freaked me the fuck out as a kid. Like, because I mean, at the end at the airport.
Oh. Yeah.
Dude.
Or even remember the voicemail?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Do you remember the way Bruce Willis had to lean against the side of the wall, though, and get sprayed down? I think about that every time. When I take a shower, I always want to, like, hit my lower back with some hot water. So I'll, like, lean against the shower like that. I'm like, I'm doing my stupid Bruce Willis pose. Like, getting de-loused.
As long as you don't eat any spiders.
Stop it. You stop it. Okay, we're not talking about 12 monkeys anymore. I want to talk about something more uplifting, like clone facts. I've had this as an old Just Asking Questions, and it fell off the sheet because I thought it was like too niche to ever bring up. But it's happening right now, so I have to bring it up. Like, this is a key. You've known me forever. This is like a key Dustin moment. It's like, oh,
okay.
There's enough lined up. I have to talk about this. So I have notes. I'm going to reference my notes. If I told you about a place called Clone Aid, would you think that's real?
No.
Sounds like a beverage, right? For one. It's at the time of like Farm Aid and all that kind of stuff. So it was a nonprofit created by this cult called Raelian, R-A-E-L-I-A-N, founded by a French journalist. And
of course.
Tell me if you remember this. The French. It's not on this page.
That podcast is...
Damn it.
Okay. Listen, hear me out.
That's me with ADD wanting to do this story. Raelian. So,
French.
Do you remember in the year 2000, this woman had a press conference that says that they've cloned a human, and that they're not going to show you the human for their privacy, but we are going to announce that our company was Clone Aid.
shit.
So somebody shared a video like, hey, I don't know if this is, somebody shared a video in an Instagram story, and it was probably famous on TikTok if it got on Instagram Reels. And it was that press conference. And they shared it saying, this is news that you're not seeing this week. You know, the big media is trying to hide this. It's like, this is from 2000. I remember this. So I went down the rabbit hole and saw this company, Clonaid. Clonaid's a company that says that they clone the human. All that shit I was saying earlier about how, like, there would be so many unethical steps along the way there. Like, literally humans that don't, because before they made Dolly, they had a bunch of dead dollies, and it's fine because it's a sheep, whatever. So, like, you don't perfect making a human. And so she was getting sued. The company was getting sued for, you know, human rights violations. And there's like a multinational thing that says, like, hey, we shouldn't clone people.
Yeah, we don't do that. Yeah.
And it kind of came out in the middle of this that, like, there isn't a lot of teeth to that, kind of like how you actually can be a criminal and be the president. So this guy, Bernard Siegel, tried to appoint a special guardian for Eve. That he tried to have a lawsuit. They named the baby Eve. That's what they said. The clone's name was Eve. And he tried to sue Clonaid because he was afraid the kid might be being treated like a lab rat. But then Siegel, the attorney, heard the company's actual name was Clonaid and decided Clonaid project was a sham.
Oh, based on the name.
I copied Wikipedia notes. Like, that's straight from the wiki. They have another company. I'm not making this up. Clitoraid. Okay. Guess what that does?
What? Do tell.
No, I wanted you to guess.
They make
Clitoraid? That one's a beverage, Alan.
Oh.
No, come on. Oh, it's anti-female genitalia. You know,
oh, it's like the cut stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, what a weird fucking world, man. Like, that they didn't clone the baby. That would have.
All right. So I had two things that came to my head while you were telling us about that. I wrote them down so I would not forget. Did you ever play the game Nier Automata?
I don't even know what you're saying. Automatopia?
Yeah. So this was, I want to say early 2000s. It's basically about clones and robots in dystopian. It's by Squaresoft, same guys that did like Final Fantasy and stuff.
Okay.
I think there's an Eve character in the game. It's pretty interesting stuff. Anyways, there was that, and also a lot of people who are concerned about AI refer to human cloning as an example of us as a species saying, wait, let's pump the brakes here before we explore this technology, because, you know, the consequences could be severe or bad. And given the story that you just told me, I don't know that we did a very good job actually stopping human cloning.
Yeah, no.
I mean, so if that's the AI argument, I don't know that it really holds up.
Well, I don't like that. Right? I've got some clips about AI for next week's show.
I mean, there's always been that concern that there's going to be rogue nations that are not going to give a fuck about whatever we decide to do as a globe. And they're just going to go forward and that's going to give them an advantage, which is why nobody wants to stop. But
with AI, and then you have the arms race, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I got a good AI clip for next week. I'm not going to spoil. All right, cool.
I think the COVID-19 thing is the bigger story there.
Okay. We're going to get the show banned.
All right. China's population declined for a second straight year in 2023.
And these are the numbers they're telling us.
As its birth rate slowed to a recent low 6.39 births per 1,000 people, which sounds impossible to me.
But
that's what 6.39 births per 1,000 people. So essentially 500 couples, only 6.39 of them have a kid.
Whoa.
That got a lot crazier
when you put that into couples.
But they're saying that's not all that different from people or from countries in their similar sort of economic environment. So famously, China had the one-child policy because they were concerned about population growth. They kept that in place way too long. And then they started to try to incentivize people to have kids. First saying you can have two, now you can have three. Now we're going to give you subsidies for having these kids, all that. But the problem is that at least most – there's been a large growth in the middle class in China, right? Middle and upper class in China. We all know that. And if you're in that class, especially with their values, you understand that for you to be able to have a child or an extra child, two, three, the cost of that, you're going to consider the fact that, you know, the cost of living, the cost of education, all of those things, people are not opting to have more kids. And, you know, Peter Zian, we've had clips of him on the show forever talking about China's population just plummeting. I want to say that it dropped by over a million this last year, which is the biggest loss. If you look at – oh, that's the next headline, actually. Actually, let's go to the next headline. Okay. That's about their GDP.
Chinese GDP grew 5.2% in 2023. Wow, wow, wow. Slowing from long-term trends, but meeting the government's targets. The government's like, yeah, we were fine with this, but they've been hitting double digits. But that's also so unsustainable, though.
If you take out the COVID years, so like 2020 through 22, I guess – this is their lowest GDP growth rate since 1990. That's 30 fucking years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you look at that on top of their population just collapsing, on top of their housing market, on top of all the things we talked about with Sinotalk, things aren't looking so great for China. And we have another headline in the other news about Taiwan, which even calls into question their ability to...
Not West China, not West Taiwan anymore. We're going to go on to regular
China. Yeah, regular. Okay. All right. I think the population thing is the bigger
China pop. There.
China pop.
Okay.
All right. Now I need to pull this one up. There was a line in here I wanted to...
I'll read it while you do that. The World Economic Forum, held by an actual James Bond villain, what's his name?
Klaus Schwab.
Klaus Schwab, who looks exactly like you're imagining Klaus Schwab. The World Economic Forum's annual meeting kicked off in Davos, Switzerland. Is this where Abe Lincoln's plane couldn't take off?
Yeah, okay. It's also where Zelensky is and
Chinese that's where he announced his 7-point plan for Russia to give them everything back and money.
Yes.
Money, me, money now. That's awesome.
The official theme of Davos.
Money, me. Money now.
I'm sorry. The official theme of Davos this year is rebuilding trust.
I thought it was going to be the under the sea ball.
For the WEF to have that as their tagline just made me laugh. That is pretty funny. I don't know.
It's like, when was there trust? Like, right. The second people found out about you, they were like, I don't think so.
Yeah, Blinken was there, and he was talking about the need to give Ukraine money, which, by the way, the U.S. still hasn't done, even with this most recent budget's passed.
Yeah, because they won't solve the border.
Right.
It's like, we need to solve the border. It's like, so, like, solve immigration? That seems like it would solve the border. No. Solve border security. Well, you had a president that built a wall. Like, he didn't finish it. Like,
at least half of them.
Like, you had the opportunity for border security. What, like, Biden did all the same Trump things. Like, okay. Right.
Essentially, continued his policies. I mean, realistically.
And here I am talking about their agenda instead of what we're supposed to be talking about, which is Ukraine and money. Davos. Okay.
I would guess maybe not the whole child separation thing, but pretty much everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Davos is back, everybody. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot about the
between. I get Davos and Doha confused. Doha is in Qatar, right?
Yeah, Davos is cold and Doha is hot.
Very hot.
Let's think of
Doha. Doha.
There you go, Doha.
Okay, there you go.
Ramstein, Doha.
Now I'm confused again. Damn it. The famous Swiss band, Ramstein.
All right, the PPI index.
Oh, yeah, I said the first one. Sorry.
Yeah, the PPI index fell 0.1% in December on a monthly basis, below expectations of a 0.1% gain. The whole wholesale inflation measure is now up 1% from a year ago. These are very small, small differences, but when you're talking about an economy as large as ours is, they do matter. The PPI is sort of the inputs to the economy because that's the producer's price index.
What it costs to make the things.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know. We've been getting a lot of mixed signals about where we are here as far as inflation and the health of our economy. It's kind of like, are we meh? Are we good?
But prices give signals too, right? Like that's the whole point of how markets work. So if it fell, what does that mean? That means the prices are lower.
Prices are lower. Yes.
Okay. So is
the inputs to the economy, the price.
So that will incentivize.
Investment.
Yeah.
So essentially it costs manufacturers less to make the goods that the finished products that we buy currently.
Okay. So, as they are producing. So goods printer go burr again,
something like that.
Okay.
Again, we're talking about
this is good news.
This is good news.
Oh.
We're talking about a very infinitesimal number here, 0.1%. Uh-huh. But still, as I said, in an economy as large as ours, that does make a difference. There is, so now, if you look at the bond market, there's some math to this, which I'm not going to explain, but there's a 70% of investors believe that the Fed's going to cut interest rates in the next meeting. So
I don't think the Fed thinks that. Last time they met, they're like, look, news wasn't that. So when they announced,
when the CPI came out, they were like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah. But and I think they had their meeting the day before the CPI came out, though, didn't they? And at their meeting, they're like, we're not so sure. Let's look at these numbers that come
they're
out.
Oops,
the numbers weren't good.
Still.
Yeah. I think they'll hold. I don't think they'll drop yet. I think we'll sometime in 24, you know what? Second quarter, third quarter, something for the election, right?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see whether the
and Joe won't even have to tweet at him to get him to do it.
All right, bigger
that's
story.
Bigger news. I mean, okay, so we didn't talk about how Abe Lincoln's airplane got stuck in Davos because, like, it had some like critical failure.
I vaguely know about this story. Do you have more details? I don't.
No, but I don't like flying, so that gets me nervous.
Also, with the Boeing losing like bolts and doors flying out, there's that. Yeah. It's been a bad week in aviation.
Goddamn jets are falling out of the sky. but it's a bad week. You know what? We got a story in other news about Russian jets.
Did you read
it? Something about
we talked about it a little bit on the
But I hope you read it because Ray sent it to me and said there was a lot about missile defense in it, and I was like, well, Alan can read that at me.
There's it's a very good story.
All right,
I read it.
Good. I can't.
All right.
I think the PPI is a bigger deal.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. All right, go on, sir.
All right, so in other news, we have some actually really big fucking stories. All right, so this first one I thought was probably one of the biggest.
This is something that broke and we haven't had sounds about. We haven't had really, because it's been a matter of hearsay, right? Because initially it was like, hey, this guy's going through a divorce. There's names that if we make, if you're going to make real allegations, Talk about it.
All right. So the headline is judge.
Bring your dog inside. It's 17.
Oof. Did you change your input?
Oh, I just moved the microphone so I wouldn't interrupt. And then I just talked into the air.
Okay. Got it. Judge in Trump Georgia case orders hearing on Fannie Willis misconduct claims. So here's what happened. And part of the reason we didn't really cover it was because, as you said, it was just hearsay. It actually still is. The defense has provided no evidence, although they are subpoenaing.
But to be fair, the reason the defense has not provided evidence is because the evidence is tied up in a divorce proceeding and it's not fair to
have subpoenaed.
This. And so, okay. So, like, I don't want to be the asshole on record being like, they don't even have proof. It's like, well, there's a reason they don't even have proof, which should go back to, hey, maybe you shouldn't be making a big deal about this until you have proof. But
although I would say, so, okay, so let's play out the allegations first.
Yeah, sure.
So
we have an LLC. We're not getting sued.
The allegations are that the lead prosecutor, which Fannie Willis hired to run this RICO case against Trump and all the other co-conspirators in Georgia, the allegation is that he's an outside prosecutor
that she hired on. That's it. That's a factor in this. It's a huge factor. So he got paid a lot, and he's not currently on staff.
Hold on. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Oh, we will.
All right. So this is not an uncommon thing to do, by the way. In a high-profile case like this, a DA will often do this. They'll hire these bigger lawyers because maybe the people in their office aren't as good at being able to handle these sort of cases. This is obviously probably the biggest case that DA will ever try in her career. So she hired the guy. The allegations are that she and him had a relationship.
A tryst.
A romantic relationship. And prior to her hiring him as the lead prosecutor in this case. The attorney in question, his last name is Wade. He is going through a divorce. And the divorce has been quite the opposite of amicable. And so one of the defendants in the case says that they got some details from their divorce case that is ongoing, and said that they have evidence that this relationship was happening.
I'm sorry, did you say one of the defendants?
Yes. One of the defendants in the RICO case.
I'm sorry, got it.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
So one of the 14 defendants, I think, that are left in the RICO case. All right, so here's the allegation. The allegation is that she hired this person. They'd already had a romantic relationship.
Business ethics.
the DA's office has paid him nearly $700,000 over the course of the last two and a half years since the start of this investigation. I think it's like 680 or something like that, close enough. And so obviously the implications are that there is ethics concerns, that there's impropriety here. They're also alleging that perhaps she benefited from him being on payroll, that they've taken trips together, et cetera. We have no paper evidence of this yet. However, the judge in this case, Scott McAfee, not the crazy McAfee virus guy, he's actually been a really solid judge. He's been interesting.
He's the young one, right?
Yeah, and he's allowed cameras in his courtroom, which we don't have a lot of camera access to. A lot of great paintings.
There's been great paintings.
Yeah. So the judge in this case has asked for Fani to come in and respond to these allegations, I think, in the next couple of weeks. So we will have on-camera response to these allegations from her, or at least her office, very soon. And I believe the documents perhaps could be in the hands of both news outlets, talking about the divorce documents, news outlets, as well as the defendants within probably mid-February.
Why are we talking about this?
So it's a big deal. Essentially, the motion that was put in by this defendant was that this case should be thrown out because of improprieties between the DA and this lead prosecutor. And while that really doesn't pertain to this case, if she was fucking this dude and benefiting from him being on their payroll, that really doesn't change any of the facts of this case.
Is this like Taylor Swift fucking the tight end of the Chiefs? Like, it doesn't matter.
However, obviously it's scandalous. It's a really bad look, and she's a very high profile DA. She went.
There's probably you can't fuck people you're working with rules there, right? I mean, if they did it at Staples, they should.
Didn't
stop anybody at Staples, did it, Alan? High five, buddy. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do. It popped in my head. I was like, don't say that.
It's all right.
So, however, obviously it looks bad. Very high profile case. That's what I was going to say. So Fani Willis went to a historically black church. I'm not sure if it was Ralph Warnock's or not, but I think it might have been. I'm not positive on that. I didn't get the name of it.
Ralph Warnock.
That's Ebenezer, right? I think
it might be, but it's Raphael, not Ralph.
Raphael Warnock. Ralph. My bad. All right. So she spoke at that church or a church over the weekend. And if you listen to what she said, first of all, she didn't deny any of the allegations. And some of the things she said, she was like, Lord, I didn't know that this case would make me so lonely. Lord, I didn't know this case would be so hard. Like, she's speaking, obviously, at church. She says things like, I'm not perfect. Essentially, just based on the context of what she said in the speech at that church, feels like there's some fire where that smoke is. At least that's my take on it, what I read.
You know what's great? This timeline is so fun. Like, that's because that's the one trial that Trump can't do anything whether he gets reelected about.
That's a state trial. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
All right. So just to zoom out here a little bit. So again, whether or not any of that is true really doesn't have any bearing on the RICO case.
Business ethics.
However, there was another case in Georgia where I can't remember the details exactly, but Fani was asked to recuse herself from prosecuting this case because of her. It was some sort of like she had made a political donation or a speech or something like that.
And she complied.
Right. And she complied. And that case went nowhere. They just threw it out. So if you look at the precedent of what was done when she was removed from a case previously, it was just dropped. This case obviously is like no other case has ever been on the state.
Wait, you could remove her and have but how is that decision made? You can't answer.
That's made by
a panel of judges, probably. The Secretary of State,
the Supreme Court,
which is probably
Georgia.
How it gets dropped. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. I don't know. We'll find out soon enough. Very salacious story.
Yeah.
And again, we don't know any of the details. So right. I mean, already the facts. A lot on. Of allegations, though. Yep. It's not looking good for Fonny. I will say that.
This is that's the sound for other news. Moving on.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. All right. All right. Next, we have why would China struggle to invade Taiwan? I'll just summarize this quickly. So essentially, there's a lot of issues geographically with invading Taiwan.
This is like Sinotalk was saying that like all of the beachheads where they would naturally gather because they're the best locations to get to Taiwan happen to be really tough to get to from within China to establish like your large force that's going to go do that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of factors here. So first of all, the seas and the straits of Taiwan between China and Taiwan are very choppy. I saw a video of this massive ship just being like rolled fucking waves. Wow. It was crazy. Also, as you approach Taiwan, the sea is very shallow. So essentially for any boat of any like actual size that would be in the Chinese Navy, they would have to drop anchor like quite a ways offshore.
You know
offshore.
What, though? If you're really skilled, from what I've heard, it's about the motion of the ocean. It's not really about the size.
Good point. So they would have to drop anchor pretty far offshore and use smaller vessels. Now that puts those vessels in harm's way, obviously. The article I read, actually this article, suggests that if China were to pull this off, it would make D-Day look like...
Right.
Like small potatoes. Like the size of the force they would need.
I thought you were going to describe the size of the potatoes. I'm like those little ones you cut in half and like...
So I want to say... D-Day, I think we dropped off like 850,000 soldiers on the coast of Normandy.
Just give me a number. Sure.
I think so. And they're saying the size of the force you would need to take Taiwan would, like, that number would just pale in comparison to this.
Yeah.
All right. So you have.
Yeah, because Taiwan is all there, not also fighting Russia right. over here.
Right. So you have shallow seas. You have the rough current. You have very few ports that you can actually get into. And if Taiwan chose. They could just pull up the ladder behind them and blow up those ports, preventing China from access.
And what happened to allow Russia to get into Ukraine was, well, we're just practicing on the border with Ukraine. And we all just watched as like 300,000 troops and all of their armored divisions went there. Yep. And it was like very obvious in hindsight, not even in hindsight, what was going on. But we would come on the show and be like, there is no incentive for Russia to really commit to this. It would be a disaster for them, blah, blah, blah. And
we weren't wrong, by the way.
I know, but well, except for the whole they wouldn't do this.
Right.
And China, like if China starts amassing them, because as we described earlier, those beachheads are remote and you have to go through like mountains or something. I'm trying to remember what China taught us.
So here's the thing. So the west coast is where you have the shallow water and very
the west coast of Taiwan.
Taiwan. The east coast of Taiwan, first of all, you have to sail around Taiwan, which makes you vulnerable. And the east coast of Taiwan is pretty much cliffs and mountains. There's really no way
to get... The east coast of Taiwan. And the west coast of Taiwan is where they would want to land?
Yeah.
You said that's easier or no?
Way easier.
Okay, but the east coast... The east coast of West Taiwan is very difficult, and that's where West Taiwan would have to...
They'd have to stage their people.
Now I'm making this confusing. We call it China, West Taiwan.
So, but the east coast of real Taiwan is mountainous and cliffs.
East coast, the other side.
Other side.
So going around is not an option. You're going, which is what they'd rather do, just go straight across.
Sure. So you really can't assault Taiwan from there. And then once you get those troops on the ground, the geography that you have to get through to get to the major city centers is really rough. There's not a lot of road infrastructure there to get in and out of the major cities. A large percentage of the population lives in that, I think, northern area. So there's just a lot of reasons geographically that make it difficult to assault Taiwan. Now, China has the largest military on the planet, I want to say, or second maybe to us. I think the largest navy.
But you're counting all those fishing vessels. And they can't go very far. As Zion always says, they can't go very far from shore.
And they don't have...
They're not fully blue water. We're fully blue water.
Right. They don't have a lot of amphibious vessels, which they would need to assault those beachheads that are few and far between. They also haven't been in a major war for like 7 decades.
But also, we would watch them build up on the east coast of West Taiwan and watch them. And we would say like, hey, we've seen this with Russia. We're not going to fall for this again. Like, there isn't a quick There isn't a blitzkrieg that they could do where they could be like fire everything at the west coast of Taiwan and then establish their troops and then go invade. Like they would have to do all that timing wise.
And Taiwan has had plenty of time to invest in defenses on their west coast. They have mines.
Yeah, but if Israel taught us anything, missiles. Any missile defense can be overwhelmed.
Sure, and, sure, there is that. So essentially, I think, you know, when we talked to Sino on the show, I asked him, you know, would China prefer to take over Taiwan with soft power? He agreed that would be the case. But that's not so easy either. They just had an election in Taiwan.
Sorry.
And the winner of that election is... been on
the incumbent,
saying,
the ones that were already there.
Yeah, and he's been on record as saying that, you know, there Taiwan's is no one China here.
Taiwan is independent. But going into the election, they were like, I'm not going to say Taiwan's independent. We've already made that statement. We've already crossed that bridge.
Yeah.
We're just talking about what we are and what we want to do as the candidate, mm-hmm. as an independent place. And that's how they won. It also would have been kind of nice if the other party won, because then the U.S. wouldn't have to feel like we have to back Taiwan anymore. Because we could be like, because the other party is more sympathetic to mending things with East Taiwan, China. And so like the other party that could have won, we could have been like, well, the people of Taiwan said they want to be closer to China. We can just wash our hands of this.
Yeah,
thank God.
Yeah.
That would have been a relief in a sense.
Perhaps. Yeah. Every time you say East Taiwan, it fucks me.
It's confusing. Know. And it imagine confusing. The listener that's struggling. That's like, look, I don't pay attention to China. Like, yeah, I know. East Taiwan is China. It's a joke.
All right. We got a couple more headlines. I'll summarize as best as I can. All right. So Ukrainian crews set a complex missile trap for Russia's best radar plane. We talked about this on the Wednesday show.
The A-50, it's beautiful.
A-50. So this is like their big, as we talked about, this is their big command and control in the sky plane. So it has massive radar. It can see really far away. It carries a crew.
Excellent night vision.
It carries a crew of pretty like high-level military people to be able to manage all.
Dude, I said that. I was like, that's like a huge loss of the skill of the crew. And then Julian had it in one of his posts. I was like, pretty nice.
So there's about 15 people, they think, that were on this plane. This plane is so complicated that they fly with the second plane, which basically does all the communication stuff for it. Like,
and they got the second plane too, but they didn't.
They just didn't kill it.
Yeah.
But so, like, this plane, as massive as it is and as, you know, advanced as it is, doesn't have enough processing power or communication power to both do what it's doing and get that data out to the field.
That's like, honestly, that's really impressive, like what they're accomplishing with that system.
That's fucking crazy.
Like a flight system that's keeping a computer system in the air real.
Right.
Like someday when we have one of those like Avengers hover platforms where they're like doing everything from, they'll think of like these types of things, because we do it too, as you know, just like the baby steps of getting there.
Right. Okay. So the headline is about the trap, right? So essentially what happened was Ukraine conducted some bombing raids with their air capabilities on these radar assets that Russia had, I want to say on the close to the front lines, by maybe the eastern side, somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly. Whatever, that doesn't matter. So what they did, they took out some radar installations there with their air power.
The Ukrainians
Ukrainians did. So the Russians were like, oh, we're blind over here now. We got to take this asset and put it over here so we can see what the fuck's going on.
They got to back that asset up.
Yeah, so they took this plane, So apparently the only...
Wait, this is like Home Alone. They're like, rattle a bell over here. I'm going to go look. This is like throw the rock, and then once they're there, get them?
The article I read says they think they only have two left of this fucking plane.
No. They have nine of those. That's what I saw.
They have nine?
Yeah. This is a key...
said they have
three. Yeah, but look at the source. Where is this from? Oh, it's Forbes. Never mind.
Forbes. Anyways, so... either way, if it's nine or three, the taking out one is still massive of this type of plane with this type of personnel. So the Russians are like, oh, we can't see over here. We got to fly this plane so we know what's going on. They fly this plane over there. The Ukrainians had their Patriot missile batteries. They turned on their radar for like a couple of seconds just to get bearings of where this plane was.
Oh, wow.
They turned it back off. So it wasn't enough time
to be
for
detected.
The Russians to be – yes. So they fired them. They took out the A-40 or the A-50, right? And they injured the other plane, the communications plane. Then they packed up all their shit and moved before the Russians could retaliate.
Dude, that's the game. I mean, Kitback was talking about this because they've been doing that. That's how they've been hitting all their other sites and taking a lot of the. Because there was one day where the Ukrainians took out like 5 jets and 2 helicopters or something. Mm-hmm. And like, and the whole game is we're going to move the Patriot batteries, which are a defense system, but they can be used offensively.
Offensively.
Which was the entire reason Russia went to war, was because Ukraine had those batteries on the east border of Ukraine, and Russia was like, hey, those can be loaded with offensive weapons.
Yep.
And now Ukraine's doing it. But to be fair, they're doing it because they were invaded by Russia. And they didn't have Patriots. They had lesser grade ones from before. Anyways, so we gave them these Patriots. They're using them offensively, but they're being smart with the way that they're luring their expensive and valuable assets, like their queens, basically, right, into that part of the chessboard, and then evading detection and firing them off prior to
picking up and moving before they can.
And like that video I told you about, do you remember me telling you about on the last episode how there was like a 60 Minutes type thing in Russia, like RT, where they were like flying in the plane as reporters, like watching. It was like, it was meant to be impressive. We do those types of things with our news
propaganda
programs
too.
Yeah. And they were like interviewing the captain of that plane, and he's just like, or the radar operator, or whoever. And he's like, yeah, the Americans think that they have this fancy paint coating that means we can't see them.
Yes, I do remember this.
Like, we know about that. Don't you worry. Plus, we've got weapons that they don't know about. And it's like, meanwhile, literally the plane, whose entire thing is to make sure that they and everyone around them doesn't get hit by missiles, got hit by missiles. Like, that's funny to me.
It's pretty remarkable. I mean, the Ukrainians have had some victories like this. They took out the Moskva or whatever, that boat.
Yeah. A couple of boats. Submarine. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a huge deal. So,
The Black Sea Fleet is the underground Black Sea Fleet. It went under, damn it, whatever.
The Schwartz Fleet.
Schwarzensee Fleet. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Do you want to talk about this one? We could skip this one probably, right?
I'll just mention it real quick.
I am curious about the Evaldi one, too. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So Biden campaign to use abortion rights is a central campaign issue. I think this is the least surprising headline I've ever seen. If you paid any attention to 2022 midterms, you would know that that would be a winning
issue. They have a special election in Florida 2 nights ago?
Yeah, that was for a state congressman.
Okay,
I bet
you one of them was like super pro-life and the other one.
Probably.
Yeah, because it flipped. The state house in Florida, the Democrats flipped an election. Just again, you know.
I was reading an article today about the slim majority that the Republicans have in the House.
Yeah, but the Democrats don't exactly have a great majority in the Senate.
No, but like based on – so. The first thing the Republicans did when they got the speakership was remove the ability for people to vote remotely, which had been put in place by Pelosi.
So you can have a quorum, which is enough to hold a vote, and not have all of the representative Democrats that make their majority matter there.
Right. Also, but especially if
they're being pussies about masks. Am I right, Alan? High five. You know what I'm talking about, buddy? Oh, not doing that? All right. I got it. Tennessee shits in my blood, man. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Republicans have had some people be sick. I think Scalise is being treated for cancer.
Yeah.
There's a couple other people. Also, just road conditions have prevented Congress.
Oh, that's weird. But that's weird because Republicans made that rule. And you're talking about examples where Republicans couldn't make it in.
Yes.
Yeah, Scalise is not good.
So it's hurting them.
Yeah.
There have been cases where literally they had a one vote margin over the Democrats because of people being out. Also, like Santos stepping down or, you know, getting knocked out. McCarthy stepping down. That he hasn't been replaced yet. Obviously, that will be a Republican because of that district.
Right.
But he doesn't count now, right?
Right, because he quit.
Yeah, so.
So there's a window. There's a window.
There's a window. There's a window.
You could do like the EU where they're like, look, the guy from Hungary is not here. Let's
do it. Well, so this is, I don't remember which congressperson said this, but he was like, hey, if one day we get here and we have the majority, we'll vote in a new speaker. It should be fucking hilarious. I don't know if they can pull that off.
Because the speaker's always going to show up, right? Like I mean, he can't be late, right?
Well, but if they have the majority, they could.
Yeah,
I
know. And McCarthy and Johnson would have to sit there and do it. Like, hit the button. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
All right.
He'd come up with some biblical reason to stop it. He'd be like,
Uvalde was fucked up. That's my version of the headline. So essentially, anybody who watched the footage that we had available to us, like the body cams and stuff of the
police. The school shooting where the cops didn't go inside.
Didn't do shit.
Yeah.
So essentially what they're saying is that the...
Didn't it ultimately get resolved by good cops that just said, no, I'm going to go in and fucking do it?
Yes.
Okay.
But the main issue was that the way that... So they have different characterizations or categories of how they define these situations, and that depends... Or that changes their ROI, their rules of engagement, or ROE, rules of engagement, right? So the situation was characterized...
ROI. I heard ROI.
I know, I was thinking...
I know.
That's more my wheelhouse, but ROE is rules of engagement.
Okay.
So this situation was characterized when officers first showed up as somebody who was barricaded in a space and had hostages, essentially, which they treat very differently than an active shooter who is actively moving through the environment and taking people out. So there were cops who showed up who wanted to go in.
Right.
And leadership stopped them from doing
right,
so.
Right, and we saw those videos.
We did see those videos. And so 21 people died from this shooting. It's hard, you know, obviously there's no way to tell. But many people, like there were two people that died on their way to the hospital from their injuries.
And those people would have gotten there. What, I mean, it was like 45 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a long time. How long was it?
I think it was like 45 minutes to 50. So if they had gone in blitzkrieg like they were
yourself.
Sorry, I'm mad.
If they had gone in blitzkrieg like they're supposed to do, you know, they could have got those people on a helicopter to a hospital and probably saved their lives. Besides all the people that he would not have been able to interact with if he'd been taken out sooner. It's just a shit show. Pretty much every cop
involved, 45 minutes he was in there actively.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Pretty much any cop that was involved in leadership that was associated with Uvalde has already retired.
I'm sorry, you're not barricaded if you're walking around shooting people. Right?
I agree completely. Those videos were so...
I'm sorry, that's a bullshit excuse. My follow-up question was, can you explain to me how they described what's different about a barricade situation? And I'm interested in knowing that, but it doesn't matter. If the whole time you're hearing shots from different parts of the school, that's an... No, that's right. Didn't he have them all locked into one room and he kept shooting them?
I believe he was moving around, but... Yeah, so a barricade situation would be more like what we had by my work recently, where you have somebody...
Where the cops are like, this guy's a fellow cop, let's give him a chance to blow off some steam. He wanted to shoot his wife through the door.
Yeah.
Who has it?
Where you have somebody behind an enclosure...
Hold on, that was true. People that just joined the program. Alan's work is across the street from a cop who shot his wife with a shotgun through the door.
Through the door.
And then they had a standoff and they went home because he's a cop.
Yeah, pretty much. That sums it up quite well. So yeah, that's the difference between the situations. But just a complete shit show. Again, there will never be enough retribution or blame that's going to bring any of these people back or make any of these families feel better.
But that's not the point, right? Like, it's the same as like with the other things that people think we're sticklers about, with like Trump and other things. It's like, well, you either hold people accountable for things like this or you don't.
Yep.
Like, it is an important lesson that we should learn about how we can handle things differently. But, like, I'm sorry. I got, like, suspended on YouTube or on Instagram for a little bit for calling people a coward at that moment. That was cowardly. Even if that's the fucking policy. Just to be like, look, you guys are going to have to shoot me while I go in there and do my fucking job right now. I'm not saying I'm Mr. Tough Guy that would do that. I'm not a cop. That's why I get mad at them when they do things poorly, because I expect you guys to be literal heroes. Like, as a kid, we had the tail end of that, like, dragnet and the way, like, TV propaganda really told us the cops were all the good guys. And, like, I remember growing up being like, thank you, Mr. Officer. I stopped talking to my dad because Dare told me that drug users are bad people.
I remember you telling me that
story. All right. So, like, I act like this out of being a victim of their bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, I would classify this as a huge failure of leadership. Like I said, there were cops that were willing to go in guns blazing and deal with the situation like they were trained to do. Leadership prevented them from doing so. And it was leadership on a lot of levels. I mean, Arredondo, I think that was his name. He certainly sucked, but so did a lot of other people who were...
And they had a weird system where, like, Arredondo was the head of, like, the local school police,
but there
right?
should have been somebody there that was a leader that could have taken charge of the situation.
No, see, that's the thing. It's like, I understand that there's, like, chain of command and blah, 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 but, like, I'm sorry. Like, I know soldiers and people that work in jobs where you have that chain of command and duty and you have to respect your superiors and things like that. I know that there is something along the lines of, ultimately, you have to do the right thing and know that if you disobey, like, there is a moment. Like, I know that they don't, like, cheat you. I mean, I guess so. But, like just this is why you're there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's codified in nearly every, I think, branch of the military, ROEs. So, it was just a failure all the way across. There was a state investigation that was released earlier last year that essentially found the same thing. This was the federal one. It sucks, man. It's terrible.
Suck. Okay. I got all worked up.
All right. One more. This is the question you had. So Congress clears stopgap spending bill for Biden.
We did have really?
Yeah. Yeah. So the Senate passed it.
When?
The Senate passed it either this morning or late yesterday.
Why wasn't it on any of the news? I didn't even hear it because it has to go through the House, then go to the Senate. So, like, it wasn't on any of my news today.
Actually, it went backwards. The Senate did it first, sent it to the House, and the House approved it. This is a very interesting situation because this is very similar to what got McCarthy kicked out, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, I know. My boy Andy Ogles, one of the guys that represents my fellow Tennesseans, is like, this is bullshit. We're not going to stand for it.
So it passed 314.
I've been to the border. We need to not let Venezuelans walk from Venezuela through Mexico to get here. How could you imagine somebody like that coming into your country? What a piece of shit, right? Imagine some asshole that walked from Venezuela all the way to El Paso. Fuck that guy, right? Fuck him. Put him in a sweaty van and send him right back to Mexico, Alan. That's the only humane way to treat that piece of shit. You know what he wants to do? He wants to come here and pay taxes doing a shitty ass job that almost nobody wants to do. In fact, the only people that do it up here where by far these Venezuelans don't, they can walk all the way to El Paso, but they don't make it to Tennessee. They don't work in dish rooms up here in general. And by they, I mean people that are, let's call obvious illegal immigrants. So that piece of shit wanted to walk from Venezuela all the way to El Paso and then work in a dish room and pay taxes so he couldn't get any payback from them. What an asshole. Like, we should hold up our entire form of government to improve border security so that that piece of shit would not wake up in Venezuela one day and think, I'm going to walk to El Paso and take a job in a dish room or picking agriculture. By average. What an asshole. You know what? Because he's only doing that temporarily before he can go work on an oil rig. Because he learned all that oil shit in Venezuela. That's why he's leaving. He's going to come take our oil jobs in South Texas.
Sometimes when you hear the opposite of an argument, you know, you really realize the absolute bullshit of the other version of it.
I'm all worked up. Somebody put a nickel in me.
Thank you for elucidating that. So a couple details on this spending measure. So it passed 314 to 108 in the House with only 107 Republicans backing it. 106 did not. So very fractured party. The Dems
I changed my mind from my rant earlier. I just remembered fentanyl.
Mm. All right. So the Dems are essentially the reason that this bill passed. In the Senate, it was 77 to 18. So very bipartisan, actually, in the Senate. A lot of Republicans got on board.
I mean, that's pretty bipartisan in the House. I know 108 is a lot, but 314 is pretty good.
It is, but 106 being opposed is pretty wild when you're the party in charge.
Yeah.
I saw there were a couple of quotes from the Freedom Caucus, and they were like, we have the majority. Why don't we act like it? We should just shut down the government. I'm like, well, maybe that's not a great fucking idea.
I mean, it's worked out so many times. It's always been great for that party. Yeah.
Never backfired.
No, Democrats are like, once. You know what? We don't want this, but try me. Like, it's an election year. Fucking do it. Yeah, exactly. You're feeling how Yemeni are you today? And that's what it is. It's a tiny group. They're willing to fuck this all up for them.
Yep, they are.
All right. So, hold on. So what's happening? It's going through?
Yeah, it's already passed.
But so on the night before, they were able to kick 4 months more down the road.
Yes.
For something that was supposed to be resolved last year.
Yes.
And this is not a shutdown. This is all to avoid a shutdown.
Avoid a shutdown. And, so it's on Biden's desk. He's going to sign it either tonight or tomorrow morning.
Like, do you work with people that just refuse to do their job and then kick things down the road for 4 months that were supposed to be done last year and not fire them?
No.
Okay. This is infuriating because we pay for this. Like, this is what we get. And then when things don't work out for us, we're like, well, government should make a better version of that. So are you seeing what they do?
No, it's
this is what they do with the majority.
Right. You know, a lot of people are speculating that they're not going to have the majority after 24. So we'll
I'm an independent. They make it so hard for me to consider like that half of
right,
my
the binary.
Stuff. But Democrats are going to lose the Senate, right?
That seems likely. With Manchin stepping down, it's going to be very tough for a Dem to win there. And there's a couple other seats. I mean, even Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona, I think there's another Republican and another Democrat running for the same seat.
There's also a lot of Californians that moved there.
Yeah, but so the Democrat
running...
they're
the ones that left California.
The Dem running could split the vote that would normally go to Sinema.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, and that was Sinema's point. Like, maybe you guys shouldn't make an enemy out of me.
Right. Yeah, so that could be a shit show.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll find out soon enough.
All right. So... Pick one of the, how many I got here. Figure out which one of those you like. I got to count one. I can do two, Alan.
Two. Okay. I think China, Taiwan, and Fonnie Willis are the two big ones down.
That's three.
Oh. Wait, what? I said you needed two.
Oh, China versus Taiwan?
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, okay. China, Taiwan is one.
And what?
And Fonnie Willis is perhaps a legend.
That's not the one that I ranted over for 30 fucking minutes. Which one did I scream about? I don't even remember anymore.
Uvalde and the spending bill.
It's weird. That's the one that got
Do you want
more.
Spending bill?
No, I just recognize that that's the one I got the most upset about, and I'm not willing to say it's the most important story. I got to get my emotions under control. Trump ballot. What's Trump ballot mean? Oh, Trump on the ballot versus Yemen? Yemen.
Yemen.
Pakistan versus COVID? Oh, man. Oof. Oh, boy. A lot of feelings there.
Yeah.
You think Pakistan and Iran are just flexing?
Yeah, I think COVID.
You think they got it out of their system?
I think so. I think they're okay now.
All right, stop saying COVID. We're going to get banned. Chairman, China pop.
Versus
China's population decline versus price per inch. No. What is it? Producer's price index?
I think China's the biggest.
China pop. Yeah. Chai pop. Okay. And we've got China, Taiwan, not going to happen news versus no idea what I wrote down.
What?
I don't know. What starts with an F? Are you looking at those other headlines? What did you just say a second ago?
Yeah, I don't. F.
Fonnie Willis.
Okay, so what is it? Fonnie versus who?
Versus China. China is not going to invade Taiwan is one headline.
Well, I think because of our domestic politics, I'll say Fonnie is big.
I agree, Fonnie. Okay, yeah. Fonnie Willis. Remember now, I still can't read that, so okay. That's what the F one is. All right, I'm gonna go up here now.
Okay.
Oh boy, Yemen versus COVID. You know, this whole segment's turning into can I read my writing? Yemen versus COVID.
I think Yemen's the bigger deal. So COVID too. Is still sort of a.
Well, I think there's more to talk about with COVID because they're making new COVID. So
sure.
Yeah. It'd just be an era and we would be foolish to talk about it in too much of a fine detail now. China's population decline versus
Fonnie.
Oh, Fonnie. Yeah.
I still think Fonnie's the bigger deal. I mean, globally it would be China, but I think for domestic politics.
All right. So we've got whatever's going on in Yemen, which is really an extension of the Iran, the Persian Empire being reestablished. Versus the F word.
those are tough headlines to put up against each other. Man, I would still lean towards Fonnie being the bigger story. Okay, but obviously,
you think that's going to you know what? You know why Fonnie is?
You know what?
Because at the end of the day, we're going to have to vote anyways, and that's what's going to matter.
I think that I will be like glued to my television when that happens. When that court. Session happens on video.
Oh, okay.
Not that I wouldn't be for the other thing, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, hey, Alan.
Mm.
We're a couple of misogynist pigs. Fonny, what'd you give her rating wise? She's kind of mid, right?
She's pretty mid.
Yeah. Power is attractive sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. Those nice suits she wears,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's good. She's good behind the microphone. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Bossy. Yeah. Takes charge. Boss. I don't mind that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind that at all.
All right. I don't like hearing that from either of us with each other, though. Actually, you know what? I thought of a Norm joke that I'm going to debut on next week's show that kind of touches on that. So listeners, get ready for next week. I'm really proud of this. I said it. I was like, oh, it's not a joke. It's a Norm. It's a Norm joke. So it doesn't count. You don't get to tell it, you know, like you have to say it's a Norm joke.
Right.
Yemen, Fonny wins the news.
I think so.
Wow. That's a big story, man.
It's
a big story.
When I first encountered it.
But it also isn't. Whoa.
I know.
Like, at the end of the day, it's like, hold on. He did this. Like, the investigation isn't flawed because of this. But it's an oopsie, you know? Like, if you put Al Capone in for tax evasion, you get the president off for the prosecutor fucking the co-prosecutor.
Do you think if it was the reverse scenario? So if it was...
Man fucks girl?
If it was a male DA...
Boy-girl versus girl-boy?
Yeah, do you think that's changes anything, or do you think...
Not modern day. 90s, sure.
Okay.
Not post-Clinton. Pig.
Post the blue dress.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So weird to be like, no. Don't just swallow it. I'll just put it on my dress and walk out of here. Like,
also, the cigar thing. Maybe that's why his voice is so fucked up.
Yeah? You think he inhaled it? Like, it's bad for you? You're not supposed to vape. PJ?
There's a Surgeon General's warning about the vagina. Yeah. Tattooed.
Okay, I got it. A lot of people would say you should be 18. Anyways, I know it's 21 now. Never mind. Oh, joke doesn't work. What have you been watching, dude? This is a long show.
I know. I watched Dream Scenario. I talked about it a little bit on the Wednesday show.
You said you'd reserve your review until now, and we did a long show, but do it anyways.
All right, so starring Nicolas Cage. If you haven't seen the trailer,
it's one of the most talked about Nick Cage movies in a while.
Yeah. So essentially, people start seeing him in their dreams just randomly. And
this is like peak
A24,
right?
Yeah, I guess. He's just like a pretty much unknown university professor when all this starts happening. And so there's sort of an arc to the story where he gains a lot of fame because of this. And people start realizing, hey, you saw him in your dream too. And then it's just a whole thing. He almost gets some celebrity. I don't want to spoil anything, but the arc goes up and back down.
Nice. So it's a big arc, maybe like leaves a map of Hawaii when it lands.
Sure.
Okay.
He is so awkward in this movie. I don't know if you've ever seen. I've seen other movies where he's played like an awkward person.
Oh yeah, yeah. But, that one where he's the brother of his twin. Well, that's how that works.
Yeah, yeah.
Adaptation.
Yeah. So, like. He didn't do anything to get this fame, and so suddenly people start recognizing him, and you can imagine what, like...
Sure. Oh, yeah, it's like the Ken Bone effect.
Yes.
People are like, didn't you, like, in a Reddit post say that women aren't funny or something like that? Like, yeah, poor Ken Bone had his whole life ruined. Hey, I should do the Ken Bone open for this show.
You should.
All
right. So I watched this with Drew last night he was here, and we both were like, fuck, man, this is awkward as shit. It was funny, but also awkward. Like, and you know, we've watched I Think You Should Leave, which doesn't get much more awkward than that shit. But yeah, I would say it's fun. There's some funny moments, but there's a lot of cringe.
Okay.
I didn't particularly like the way it ended, but I did enjoy the story arc.
Did it end with a clip from a only popular for about 6 months in 2016? Niche internet meme video?
No, it didn't.
Oh, good. Well, then it won't be the same as None Taken. We're going to end with the Ken Bone song.
Good. Okay.
So you don't like the ending. It was awkward. It was kind of a weird thing to enjoy if you were ever going to enjoy it. And with an unsatisfactory ending, you can't give it a good rating.
I can't. I would say, I mean, Nicolas Cage.
You wanted to like it, didn't you?
I did. I'll watch almost anything he does.
Yeah, I don't know. He did a lot of like movies with him in Bangkok that weren't that Bangkok movie. Where it's like, trying to capture the magic of the Bangkok movie. Like,
don't sell drugs in Thailand, people. Yeah. All right. I also watched more of the Slow Horses show, which I fucking love. I was trying to figure out how to get.
Who stars that?
Gary Oldman,
who is always the character he's playing in every movie. There's been so many movies where, like, the first time I saw The Dark Knight, I was like, that guy that played Gordon was really good. God damn, it was Gary Oldman. He tricked me the whole movie. Like, he really gets his characters, and it's right in front of your face the whole time. Yeah. You know, like,
he is fantastic in this show. Yeah. I mean, this might be his best work. I don't know.
Shut up. Wait, really better than True Romance?
It's really
fucking in True Romance. He plays a white guy that thinks he's black that speaks like he's from Jamaica.
Yes,
and then like he's like, "What is it, White Boy Day?" In a way that I won't do his voice because if I did it, I'd be racist. But I could play him doing it. Dude, I kind of want to go watch True Romance again just for that scene.
I might have to watch it again.
Yeah, because he was.
It's been a while.
He did that in True. It's been a while. He did that in True Romance, and also True Romance has that scene with Christopher Walken saying very racist things about Sicilians. Actually, very racist things.
Just
pause.
Generally,
on the subject of Sicilians, right. Like, I don't mean to be defending Sicilians here. God forbid I like say anything nice about an Italian or anything.
You never get in a land war in Asia and never get into a mental contest with a Sicilian.
Yep, that's what they say. Something like
Princess
that.
Princess Bride.
Yeah.
All right. What about you? What have you been watching?
Watch Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh man, I started it, didn't finish it.
I bought it because it wasn't available for rent, and then I saw it's an Apple produced it.
Yes. Well, so, Apple and a number of other studios.
But I think once it is finally out, it's going to be out on Apple TV first. Oh, so I was like, probably. Well, I don't have Apple TV. I'm glad I paid for it.
The first
Plus, like, the cost to buy it is the price of a new release to rent it. It was like $18. Right. And I was like, you know what? Good. I'm going to fall asleep or not pay attention. And sure enough, around the middle, I was like, I just can't for a bit. And I took out my phone and I was like, what happened? And then, like, I know the story. So I was like, oh, but it's so different to see a story you've, like, heard or read portrayed on film, because now there's like faces to characters. You're like, wait, Sturgill Simpson was the guy that was in the car crash? Like, because Sturgill Simpson was in it, Jason Isbell was in it. There was a bunch of country musicians that were in this movie.
I like Sturgill Simpson.
I do too. Jason Isbell was and Sturgill was one of the like schemers. I mean, if you're white, chances are you were a schemer or a dead detective. Did I spoil it?
I don't know. I haven't watched the whole thing, so I don't know. I'm gonna say no.
You know what? Not all the detectives die. There we go. I didn't spoil it. I mean, come on. You know what? It's not here. Let me put it this way, without ruining the movie for you, which I wish I said earlier and thought about that. And I didn't. But this movie on paper is like, why is this a Scorsese movie?
Yeah.
And then you kind of like, especially if you already know the story, you're like, I don't understand why it's a Scorsese movie. And then as soon as it starts, you're like, that's right. He does organized crime. This is just a fantastic telling of the banality of evil within.
It's the Godfather 2023.
You know what?
Yeah.
Kind of, which wasn't, kind of. That wasn't him. That wasn't Scorsese. Alan,
oh, yeah,
confusing things here. yeah. So very good.
That was Coppola, right?
Yes. Yes, because his daughter was in it and nobody likes her, right? She ruined the third one.
She directed one of my favorites.
Lots of good movies, but people say she ruined the third one.
Oh, yeah.
You want, can I she talk directed to you? You in the Kitchen with, really quick?
Yeah, yeah.
I know, like, I think I've seen, like, the first 20 minutes of the first Godfather.
I kind of honestly the same. I've probably seen it all.
They say that, like, 2 is the best movie ever.
I don't remember it very well.
They say Godfather 2 is the best movie ever. Maybe we should fix that.
Maybe we should look into it.
Yeah, we'll watch it together.
What's your favorite Sofia Coppola movie?
I don't know. Didn't she do Hurt Locker or Big Explosion Guy from Avengers? He's the arrow.
Trying to find her.
She did not Jarhead. She did Hurt Locker.
Okay. I like Lost in Translation. That's my favorite.
She might not have done Hurt Locker. I like Lost in Translation. I think it was the same time period.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. Person. Yeah. Well, it's got Bill Murray in it.
Yeah.
So the other movie I watched was the Weird Al movie called Weird. This movie came out on Roku.
Okay.
And I'm like, look, I love Weird Al.
Roku?
But I'm not subscribing to Roku, like even for a 30-day trial. For the, like, you know.
I didn't know they had a trial.
It's a lot to ask, you know? Like,
yeah.
Over the weekend, they had an NFL playoff game exclusively on Peacock. And
yeah, that was stupid.
Everybody I knew that like wanted to watch that game was like, thank God, like my dad or my uncle or my brother had a subscription had to Peacock, and gave me a login. Like, do they really think that the, because they were like, our streaming numbers are through, it's the biggest streaming debut of live sports ever. It's like, how many new accounts and signups did you get? Like,
Also, everybody hated your announcers.
So Did you watch it? I didn't watch it.
No, I didn't watch it. But
there was it like different? On... Was it new announcers, like people exclusive for it?
Whoever was the color guy, which I don't remember.
Ooh, you're not supposed to say that anymore, Alan.
No, you know, not the play-by-play, the color guy.
Yeah.
Was fucking terrible.
Put there that
was
a whole soundboard.
There was a whole thing on the internet that was just people hating on that broadcast.
Oh, wow.
Which made me laugh. Yeah, no, like I don't fucking have Peacock. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, it's the Dolphins. You know what's going to happen. They're going to lose. It's like, wow, the Dolphins have their best year ever since the undefeated team and Dan Marino's years. And it's like, well, what do you think's going to happen in the playoffs? Cowboys, like, same thing as the guy. We are not doing sports talk.
Places out, man.
I watched
Places
the, That's right. I watched Weird, which is a movie.
Oh, yeah, Weird Al. Sorry.
About Weird Al. It was $5.99 to rent or something like that. I was like, fine, I'll do it. I liked it. I wasn't crazy about it. Brito said he kind of hated it. I definitely didn't kind of hate it. I liked it. Someday it'll be on a streaming service. Wait until then, and then you'll probably enjoy it. It's fine. It is. So
Brito
what's
likes Pee Wee Herman?
I know. Pee Wee makes an appearance in this movie. Not Paul Rubens, but
posthumously.
Now this was made in 2021, I think, which is interesting because somebody that was in it that died like somebody that was in this movie died. I didn't make a note of it. I looked it up in the moment. So I was like, that guy died. Somebody that was in this movie as a character playing them. So not the real actor. Somebody was playing somebody in this movie who passed away like a week after the movie came out.
Was he also like in an Alec Baldwin movie or something?
Sure. Why? Oh, because he shot people in 2021. I forgot about that. Good one, Alan. That was a good joke. Sorry to make you explain it. I'm not going to spend this much time talking about a movie that I didn't say was that great, but I will say Weird Al made himself famous doing a parody of music, right?
Yep.
When you watch this movie, it's a parody of a docudrama. So it's funny, but don't go into it thinking I'm going to learn Weird Al's story.
That doesn't sound great.
But that makes it better, right? Like, do you really want to know Weird Al's story? I mean, I kind of do, but not like an hour and a half.
There is a series about like Weird Al growing up. I can't remember what it is.
Are you thinking of Young Sheldon?
No. Okay. Tim shared it with me before.
Oh, send that to me. I want to see that.
Okay.
Yeah. I love my favorite. I fucking love Weird Al.
My favorite Weird Al is UHF.
I know. You found the penny in the oatmeal. You get to drink from the fire hose. Yeah. And remember the karate instructor above him keeps having students fall out the window. He's like, they're so stupid.
I don't know if that movie holds up.
It doesn't, but Spatula City holds up. I have Spatula City in the soundboard somewhere. Why don't you talk for a minute? Talk about what else I watched.
I think I wonder, did SpongeBob steal Spatula City from Weird Al?
Is it a thing? Yeah,
that's a thing.
I believe you.
What kind of game are we playing today?
Trump or Hitler? Somebody saw the one of Trump and Putin last week, and they were like, "That was hard for you. This one's a lot easier. It's got a link and everything." So we'll see.
Wait,
are
you going to trick me again? And it's all going
to
be?
No, I'm not trying to make you say any bad words. Hey, what was I going to look up?
Oh, UHF.
Oh, Spatula City.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's right here. Listen to this, Alan.
Okay, kids, let's go.
There's just pretty good little Saturday.
Go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City.
Spatula City.
A giant warehouse of spatulas for every occasion. Thousands to choose from in every shape, size, and color. And because we eliminate the middleman, we can sell all our spatulas factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to buy name brand spatulas at a fraction of retail cost?
Spatula City.
Spatula City.
And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. Buy 9 spatulas, get the 10th one for just 1 penny.
I can hear Natasha saying Alan was right, it doesn't hold up.
Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents. And what better way to say I love you than with a gift of a spatula?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
Hey, this is Cy Greenblum, president of Spatula City.
I love Spatula. I love the
company. I like their spatula so much.
I bought the company.
I bought the company.
Yeah. Spatula City! Seven locations! We're in the yellow pages.
Seven locations!
Where did you get that lovely spatula? Where did
you get that spatula?
All right.
That was so stupid. Do I make that Patreon exclusive? Or...
Yeah, probably.
Okay, fine. I don't want to take the time.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Can I tell you my favorite part from the Weird Al movie? We're still talking about it. Martin Scorsese makes a movie that ends with Jack White was in it. Jack, did you know? Oh, you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen the end yet.
I almost told you about the ending then. Never mind. Jack White's in the ending.
Your close personal friend?
Remember at the end of the movie, look for my close personal friend, Jack White. Not Jack White, the dog that keeps watching me pee. He gets so involved. He like stands up. He never interrupts, but I'm like, he's like, he does like two steps and like looks like, what is that? Like, why do you do it into water? Like, he's smart.
There's grass outside. Yeah. It's perfectly
not Jack White, the person. That's Jack White, the dog. My friend Jack White was in Flowers of the Killer Moon. Killers of Flower Moon. My favorite line from Weird Al. They addressed that there was like this Weird Al bump where it was like he would cover songs that were already came out. So they would go through their cycle of selling records and then they'd get a bump when he would do a parody of them. Right.
Mm-hmm. And most love Rocky Road.
Right. Yes, exactly. Most artists actually liked it. And they make this whole thing about Madonna in it, which I won't spoil. And
like a sturgeon.
Yeah. Yes. Like a sturgeon. He's like, what could possibly rhyme with sturgeon? Not a sturgeon. Wait, virgin. It was never sturgeon, Alan. It was a surgeon. Did you say sturgeon?
It did.
Why? You confused me. Fucking
that's
train
what
wreck.
Popped in my head.
This is a train wreck, man. Can I get to my point?
It's a good train wreck.
So they're talking about how all these artists like when Weird Al would cover them because they get a bump. There was a few exceptions. This is from the wiki. One of the notable exceptions, the funniest one, is that Paul McCartney, who refused to have a parody of Live and Let Die be made due to the song being about chicken pot pie, which conflicted with McCartney's strict vegetarian beliefs.
So we were deprived of the hit that would chicken have been pie, chicken pot
the
pie.
Man who made might as well face it. You're addicted to spuds. You like them if they're sort of fried, raw or fried. Some tater tots would blow your mind, but you don't mind. I fucking loved Addicted to Spuds.
God damn it, Paul McCartney. Why are you keeping this from this national treasure?
Salty lips looks like you found the chips.
Okay.
He's so funny. It's a good movie. Brado's wrong. It's a good movie. I wouldn't talk about it this long if it wasn't. Do you want to play this fucking game? This is a 2-hour recording. Fuck, how did this get so long, Alan? Okay, it's got a slideshow. Previous slide. Get ready, Alan.
I'm ready.
Well, what happened? I clicked a link. So quiz, who said it? Trump or Hitler?
Okay.
All right, get ready, Alan.
I'm ready.
Damn it. This is from The Onion. Oh, I wish I knew who sent this. I did not give them credit. You did not help us.
Jeff Hancock.
Jeff sent this. I think Taylor told Jeff about the show.
Okay.
So welcome to the party, Jeff. You son of a bitch. You know how to tell jokes. All right, Alan, try to determine if this is Trump or Hitler.
Hitler. Okay.
Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Führer.
That's going to be Hitler.
You think so? I'm going to go ahead and give you points.
Pretty damn sure.
Fuck you, Jeff. A bibliophile who loves to brush up on his German now and then. This one's all Trump. What? Okay, got one. The vermin must be destroyed. I don't want to say this out loud. Alan, wait, you're supposed to read these.
No, I don't know. You read them.
Oh. The Jews are our sworn enemies. Who said that, Alan?
That would be Hitler.
God damn it. Now, according to The Onion, they say that's Trump speaking on The Apprentice season 11.
What?
Hey, I can't give you points, Alan. I'm looking at the answer sheet right here. God, you got one point. Be happy with what you got. I love you, my son.
Oh.
Who said that?
That would have to be Trump.
Actually, Hitler never had kids, but it's far more likely. This is a Hitler quote. You're wrong, Alan. Sorry. But you do get 1 point so far. Onion, that's a good joke, Onion, and also Jeff. have you seen that Jeopardy clip where it's all the answers are Jeff? So many people have sent that to me because they're like, you love Jeopardy.
I haven't seen that.
No. Well, it's going to happen now. It's never going to fit in the show.
So I went 1 for 3.
Yeah. Good job, Alan.
I'll take it.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our show. Good champion in Jeff. And Jeff, happy to welcome you to our program as well. Here are the categories. First off, Jeff.
Jeff.
It's Jeopardy. It's Jeopardy.
Okay.
Jeff. And Jeff.
Jeff.
Let's try Jeff for 200.
Jeff. Jeff.
What is Jeff?
Yes.
Jeff for 400.
Yeah, okay, this is dumb. I'm sorry. Dumb. See, guys, that's why I didn't play this. All right? I didn't put it in the show for a reason. Fuck. Didn't I say it was going to end with a different thing?
Yeah.
It's probably right here. Hold on, let me back up. Okay. Oh, yeah, we're going to play Ken Bone.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You know what? Can I just ask you a question?
Sure.
Well, let me find it. It's up here, Alan. You know that band Gautier, or however it's pronounced? Is it Gautier? I don't know how to spell it.
I think it's Gautier. I think it's a D sound, but I'm not sure.
Well, so it's about spelling and confusion for me as well. Do you ever get it confused with Goatsy?
No.
Do you think there's anybody listening that doesn't know what Goatsy is and wants to go Google it? Alan, Google Goatsy.
I'd rather not.
All right, talk to you later. Listeners, let us know.
Cheers.
That was fun. Let's play.
That was a great show, man. All right, I'll see you.
All right, I'm going to play fucking Ken Bone.
Oh, yeah.
Debate number two comes after one. Both candidates having tons of fun. Sharing laughs, having great time. Then he arrived like a lightning strike. I'm Kenneth Bone and I'm here to say, I've got a question for you today. About energy sustainability,
that red
stopping
party.
The jobs from going overseas.
Bone.
Ken Bone, he's the man. Standing up tall to the big boss man. Ken Bone, he's the man. Ken Bone, he's the man. Ken Bone, he's the man. Gotta be tall to the big boss man. A great left, take him by the hand. Crossing the world with the big boss man.
Bone.
Cross the world with the big boss man.
Bone.
It's
a dumb show. I love you, buddy. I'm so happy we can do this. Can you? I everybody who's here right now, because I honestly don't expect all of the people that started this to still be here. You, we love you. Thank you. You get us. Like, is there a thing in life better than feeling like people understand you?
There really is.
Yeah, we're vibing. All right, man.
Hell yeah.
Cheers.
Hell yeah. All right, cheers.
When a guy's banging you.
Y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady.
Cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.